Number one, if you're there, I want you to say amen. We'll read one verse that's very familiar to all of us, and we'll read that verse, and just verse number 8, all right, and we'll stay right there, okay? The Bible says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." As we look at this passage of Scripture, most of us know that this was right before Christ's ascension into heaven. And here we see that he was given instruction to the disciples here and to the church. All right, I believe this is to the church. Most time we take this passage of Scripture and we preach it towards missions and mission-minded, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, and I don't want to take anything away from that, but I do want you to understand that this was written to the church, all right? This was the first disciples. As we go into this, we see, there was 120 of them that gathered in an upper room, and then after Pentecost, of course, we know 3,000 people got saved, and so the church grew from 120 to 3,120 in just a matter of one church service. Somebody say amen, and that was pretty good. They had church. Can I get a witness right there? Wish that would have been live streamed, all right? But anyhow, they sure enough had church. As we've been talking about the church and her purpose, we talked about the pedigree of the church to begin with, and we went back. And we use most of this, chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 of Acts, to lay the foundation for the pedigree of the church and what God ordained as the church and what God thinks of as the church. We talked about the people of the church as well. The whole title and subject of this thing as we've been going along are the thought, and what we've been trying to deal with is this fact of so many people nowadays have a disdain for the church. They don't want anything to do with the church. And the bad thing about it is that so many people want to be a Christian but don't want church involved in it. And how many of y'all know that? There's a lot of people that claim to be Christian, but they don't want nothing to do with the church. And that is not how God, envisioned it. That is not how God commanded it to be so. And so you and I have an obligation to the church when we get saved. And I appreciate, like I said, I started to preach this on a Sunday morning, but it would have fell on deaf ears. I preached this morning and really preached my heart out on the crucifixion, and I made mentioned several times about how people won't come back to church on a Sunday night after knowing all of this about the crucifixion. And as you can look around, you can tell we had a full building this morning, and here we see it. Now, I'm not getting on nobody, and we're not going to go out there and browbeat them and anything else. That's the last thing that I want to do. But I want you to see that this is how the world thinks about the church, all right? And so we decided to do this on Sunday night. I decided to do this on Sunday night to encourage you, hopefully to encourage you, and to get you to understand your part and your role in the church. And as we look at this thing tonight, I pray that you'll see some of that as well tonight. We've done looked at the pedigree, we've looked at the people of the church, but tonight we want to look at the purpose of the church. And I think this has been missing. I think this is missing in a lot of churches. And I think that the success that we've seen here at Calvary Baptist Church is because of the purpose of the church and what we've been able to do to keep that, keep our focus on that. So tonight we're going to look at the purpose of the church. I want you to notice three things with me, and we'll be done and get out of here, but I want you to notice the passion of the church. What's the passion of the church, and what should be the passion of the church? We see first the passion of the church is that they are faithful to the cause. The Bible says this as we're looking at it in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says this, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." In verse number 41 of chapter number 2, we see, "Then they that gladly received his word," that was those that were saved, "they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This is the church growing. All right, the church grows through salvations and baptism. Somebody say amen right there. I think a lot of our churches nowadays are trying to grow through what we would call proselyting. okay? And what that is basically trying to get people to leave one fellowship and go to another. I've always said that since the beginning, since I've gotten here. I'm not interested in getting everybody else's members to come here to Calvary Baptist Church. Now, if you did, then that's fine, and I don't have a problem with that. But our focus has to be on reaching the lost, not reaching the people that are sitting in other pews, all right? We have to put our focus on the lost, and we have to continue. When you get saved, you get baptized. Verse number 42, Miss Jenny will have it up there. It says, and they continued steadfastly. In what? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The Bible even goes on to say that they did this daily. You think you go to church too much. They were doing this every day. And they were meeting together. They were getting together. They were fellowshipping. They were doing these things on a regular basis. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the church and the passion of the church ought to be faithful to the cause. And one thing that I think that this church has a blessing on and this church is being used because of is because we love one another. The Bible says in John chapter number 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, listen, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I hear all the time, man, all I see on Facebook is about the church, and Calvary Baptist Church this, and Calvary Baptist Church that. It's because a group of people love each other and go to church. They love being around each other and they go to church. If there's anything that they can say about Calvary Baptist Church is they know that we're Christ's disciples because we love one another. Most churches don't even want to see each other. Somebody say amen right there. Most churches, they got schisms on the inside of the church and sex and different things like that, where this group of people won't fellowship with that group of people and this group of people won't be seen with that group of people. Thank God, here at Calvary Baptist Church, we don't deal with that, not that I know of, and if I do find out about it, I generally try to break it up and make sure that those type of things don't happen, because I'll deal with it later, but without unity, we'll never reach the purpose and what we're here to do, all right? So we see the passion of the church has to be, they have to be faithful to the cause. And as we've seen from verse number 42 of chapter number 2, that faithfulness involves them continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles. That means being fed and being fed on a daily basis. Listen, if you have a problem with going to church and you don't want to be fed, then I would check up on my spiritual condition. I don't think it's a church problem. I really don't. I hear people all the time talking about they're not fed. I'm going to tell y'all something. If I'm not being fed, I will feed myself. Somebody say amen right there. I need some help right here. Let's stick right here for just a moment. I hear people all the time talking about, I just ain't getting fed over here. I ain't getting fed over there. I won't miss a meal. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. If I'm not getting fed, I'm going to get it on my own. Somebody say amen. I don't need somebody else to feed me. Now, I enjoy the fellowship, and I want the learning. I want to be able to learn about my Bible and be able to learn these things. But when it all boils down to being fed, I will pick up a fork and go to town. All right? So when we look at this, they say they continue steadfastly, loving one another. I also notice that the passion of the church must be fulfilling the commission. Not only faithful to the cause, but fulfilling the commission. You and I have a responsibility to reach the lost. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, we find in that responsibility that we are to reach Jerusalem, we are to reach our Judea, we are to reach Samaria, and we are to reach the uttermost part of the earth. We have a commission. Do you understand that we're not to get together? Our passion cannot be for us to get together and play games. Our passion cannot be for us to get together and sing, or us to get together and do this, or us to get together and do that. Our passion and the passion of the church and where she is lost right now is that the passion of the church is not to the lost people anymore. Y'all, I'm serious. Most churches, they ain't seen any kind of conversions in their church whatsoever. And they'll sit there and they'll make fun of other churches that are seeing it. And they'll try to say things like, well, they in that easy believism, or they'll preach the horns off of Billy Goat. I heard that one time. Baptists will preach the horns off of Billy Goat. They'll get everybody lost every time they come to church and blah, 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 blah. And here, what it is they're trying to make up for their lack of conversions in their church. Listen to me. The only way that the church is going to function and function the way she ought to is if she's reaching the lost. We're here to fellowship with one another, but it's not the purpose is for us to meet at some country club. We're to reach out to the lost and reach them where they're at, where they're hurting at. We've already gone over this, and I dealt with this in Luke chapter number 10, but what a great example of the people that you and I are to reach, those that have been stripped of everything, those that are in a bad way, those that have been left half dead in a ditch. Those are the people that God wants us to reach. Not somebody sitting in a suit. Not somebody that's been to church their whole life. Not somebody not a Pharisee. Does everybody understand? Not a religious crowd. God wants us reaching people where they are and pulling them out. I might get in trouble for saying this, but I heard that Rascals is closing. And it's hard to function when half of their clientele comes to my church. Somebody say amen. I told Jake this morning, I said, I'd sure like to buy that building. Amen. We'd make it a community center, put Calvary on the side of it. Calvary Baptist Church Community Center. I like the old boy that runs it, but I was thinking to myself, wouldn't that be great? Hey, come on to Calvary on Wednesday night. We have free food for everybody. I better stay out of all that. What a blessing, though. Are y'all hearing me? What a blessing. I ain't talking about it closing. What a blessing and a testimony that the people that are here, we ain't reaching people that sat on a church pew. We're reaching people that sat on a bar stool. We're reaching out in our community, and we're reaching those that nobody else wants. Those that don't dress right, can't fit into that church, or can't do this, or don't know all the hymns and don't know how to sing all the parts of the hymns. We ain't reaching that crowd. We're reaching somebody that the only song they know is Friends in Low Places. Can I get a witness right there? And some AC/DC songs like I'm on the Highway to Hell. The easy back there, all right? Fulfilling commission, that's what the church is to do, is to reach the lost. And I want to help you, and I want to help you. I know I push this, and I know I push bringing people to this church, but that's the purpose of the church. We're to reach people. If we don't reach them, they're going to die and go to hell. Our focus has got to be reaching people. When you get churches, some churches, they want to pay somebody to reach everybody. Say, what do you mean? Well, they get so mission-minded that they send every dime that they got, everything, every one of their resources and everything else, they send outside the church to let somebody else do their job for them. God help the church. This is what our purpose is to reach the lost. You know what that means? That means every day you see somebody, you ought to stop and ask them, hey, you go to church anywhere? Let me invite you to come to my church. Let me tell you about Jesus. Lead them to the Lord right there, and then bring them to the church saved. I'm fine with that. Amen. I was playing golf yesterday, and I don't know if I mentioned this in the soul winning class, but I was playing golf yesterday. I went out and in the rain, and me and Michelle, we were sitting around the house. All of our kids were gone. They went up North Augusta to the big youth rally up there. And anyhow, me and Michelle were sitting around, and I can't stand to sit inside the house. I just cannot stand it. It's raining and everything else. I was like, I can play golf in the rain. All right, so let's go. She was like, I might get my hair wet. So anyhow, I finally got her out of the house, and we go out there, and we're playing golf, and I play through on making the turn, and I played through a couple on number 10. And I won't go into detail because we are on Facebook Live, but anyhow, they weren't the type of people that I would say, oh, y'all go to church. Everybody got me? All right. They weren't the type of people that you just walk up to. But I struck up a conversation with them and invited them to our church, and it was so easy. And the fella said, man, I'd like to do that. I'd like to come to y'all's church. And hopefully there'll be a time that he does. But I'm thinking to myself, how many people would even talk to him about the Lord? He's not somebody that you would expect. He's not somebody that you would think that would be in. Is everybody with me right now? That's who you and I are here to reach. You better stop putting price tags on people. If they ain't got this kind of money, you ain't going to talk to them. If they ain't got this color, they ain't going to talk to them. Or if we ain't got this or that. No, don't put restrictions on God. We're to reach the lost. We're to reach them in the ditches. We're to reach them in the byway. Wherever they're at, we are to reach them. That's the focus of the church. It has to be the passion of the church is to reach the lost. We see the power of the church. Power of the church we see in verse number 8 here. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can I say this? This is another reason I believe that this church functions and does so well as it does. It's because the Holy Spirit is here. And for most of y'all, if you've ever been to another church where the Holy Spirit ain't never been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Man, you go into a church and it's dead, it's 4 o'clock on Sunday and it never gets any better. I'm talking about it don't matter what, you plug, you preach, you try to do everything you can, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, dear Lord, this has got to be something better than this. And I'm going to tell you, first time I stepped foot in Victory, it was so, it was confusing. I ain't going to lie, it was confusing. But once I got over myself and my pride, it was the most refreshing thing I've ever been to in my life. I enjoyed going to church. I didn't have to get up and beg my children to go to church. I didn't have to get up and beg my wife to go to church. I didn't have to do those things. Why? Because it was enjoyable. It was something that we looked forward to all week long. And when Sunday morning rolled around, it was everybody was jumping in the car. My kids would come early with me. I'd go and buy donuts for all the teenagers, and my kids would come. They'd ride with me. I mean, they were excited about going to church. They loved church because the Holy Spirit was there. And I think our churches are missing this power. We're trying to operate in our own power. There's preachers that are standing in the pulpit that stole some sermon off of some website or stole something off of somebody else that they've heard. And they're trying to preach and trying to act like somebody else. And the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter how much you act like somebody else. If the power of God ain't resting on you, ain't nobody getting it. We live in a day and time, we live in a society or in a world where the church is trying to function off the ability of people and not the function of the Holy Spirit in the church. We see the power of the church, we see it in the Holy Spirit. I think the power of the church is not only in the Holy Spirit, of course we see that here, but I think the power of the church is in the unity in the church as well. I can't harp on this enough, and I know some of you have been upset with people that we've told, hey, you need to find somewhere else to go to church. But the fact of the matter is you cannot have fighting in the church and expect the church to reach her purpose and to fulfill her purpose. And the fact is this, is there is 950 churches in Lowndes County. I'm guessing. I have no idea. I know there's over 20 in the Lake Park area. And here's the thing. If you don't like it here, there's a door. I'm not going to change what I've done. I'm not going to change what I've been doing since I got here 5.5 years ago. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do it the best of our ability. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be changes. I'm not saying that we're just going to get stuck in the same rut. And there'll be changes, but the purpose of this church is going to remain the same. A lot of churches out there, they're not accomplishing anything from the Lord because they're split right down the middle, and this side won't leave and that side won't leave, and all they do is bicker and fight between one another. And nothing gets accomplished. I think the power of the church is in the unity of the church. You go and you look and you start looking at the Old Testament or the new church and the beginning, church in the beginning, it says over and over again, they were in one place in one accord. That means one agreement. They all had the same purpose. They all had the same goal. They had different operations and different things that they did. I liken it to a football team just because I played football. But I liken it to a football team. Everybody on the football team has the same goal. If you're on defense, you have a goal to stop the offense. If you're on offense, you have a goal to make a touchdown. But every person on that football team has a different responsibility. But the goal is the same. Every one of them have different body sizes, all right? Other than Jared Lorenzen, there's not a quarterback out there that's 300 pounds. Can I get a witness right there? All right, most of them are skinny as a rail. Most of them are hiding behind some guys that are 300 pounds, 6 foot, 6 inches tall, unless you're a Florida Gator fan and they're like 5'2 or whatever. But anyhow, the other one says, well, all right, I'm picking now, all right. But every one of them are different. I remember I went as a recruit to the University of Georgia back in 1992, and when I got there, everybody gets a Georgia girl, and most of them are pretty. Mine wasn't. Somebody say amen. I could tell right quick they weren't really interested in me. I got to walking around there. I was 175 pounds soaking wet. I could run. I was fast. I was strong. I was fast, but I was 5 foot, 10 inches tall, and I was 175 pounds. I got there and I got to talking to this guy. He was a recruit. I had one Georgia girl. She was ugly. He had two. They were both very good looking. Somebody say amen. They were both one on each arm, and when I looked at, he was as big as Justin. I remember I stood there and I'm thinking, my dad was with me. And me and my dad was standing there, and I told him, I said, Daddy, he's as big as a Coke machine. I've never seen anybody that big in my life. I was thinking, I'm way out of my league right here. But as I got behind some of these guys, this guy was huge. He was being recruited for the offensive line. Garrison Hurst was a running back for Georgia at that time, and they took us down on the field. We spent the whole day with the team, and they took us to the field. And during the pregame warm-up, we was playing Georgia Tech that day, and during the pregame warm-up, I'm standing behind Garrison Hurst. And this is the guy that if I go to college, I'm going to have to tackle him. As I'm standing there behind Garrison Hurst, it honest to goodness looked like he had two basketballs where I would have a calf. Is everybody all right? I've never seen anybody that, I'm telling you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. The Joker's calves looked like they were that big around. And I'm sitting there looking at all these guys and I'm thinking, I'm way out of my league. My point is that every one of them, though, was different. After the game, I sat and talked with Eric Zier for an hour. And me and him sat there, and he's 6 foot 1 or 6 foot 2, and he wasn't no linebacker. Is everybody all right? I think it was a Mitch Davis. I think he was from this area. Some of y'all might even remember him. I don't know. But I talked to him, and this joker, I'm talking about jacked. What I noticed, though, was everybody was different. You had one of them, he was 6 foot eight, 6 foot six, whatever, the size of a Coke machine. And I mean, he was huge because he had to do some blocking and he had to keep somebody from getting to the running back. But you had the running back, and he was a muscular little dude, but his calves, can I get a witness right here? They weren't no linemen that had calves as big as he did. And what I'm getting at is everybody on the team was different because their responsibility and their what they did required them to be different. And the church is no different than that. We've got to have the same goal. It does not mean we all have to have the same body types. It does not mean that we all have the same responsibility. Every single one of us has a job to perform, but the goal is the same. And the unity of the church, that's how the church is functioning. That's the power of a church, is when the goal is the same, the unity is there, and everybody's doing their part to reach the goal. We see the unity of the church, and we see the focus of the church. I think the power of a church is in the focus of it. If the church is focused on anything, and if it's centered on anything but Christ and the gospel, then you'll find out that church won't last long. It won't last long. Most churches are not centered on the gospel. They're not centered. They're not focused on the gospel or on Christ. And so we see the power of the church fading in our churches today. I'm thankful for the power of the church here. I see the passion of the church, the power of the church. Lastly, we see the plan of the church, or the plan for the church. We see here in verse number 8, a great commission is given. I And we've been told in Matthew chapter number 28, God gives our Christ, who is God, gives us instructions. His last commandment is that we go. The Bible says, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." And he says this, he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We look at this and we see the plan for the church. The plan for the church is for you and I, those that are saved, those that are disciples, to reach others. We see the plan of the church, we see the commission, we see the contributors, that would be us. And we see the continuation. We're to do it until Christ comes back. We see this thing, it says that we're to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Most people take that, most churches take that as a progression. That's not. We are responsible for every part of that verse now. That's why we do missions here. That's why we do what we do. As far as our mission meals and our mission trying to get you to give to missions, that is so we can do this verse. The church cannot function and is not, she will not function if she's not reaching these people. Now, I'm going to explain this and we'll be done, I promise, all right? Church of Jerusalem, this is it. They were told, they were given instructions. They were to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost. Pentecost happened in chapter number 2. They were witnesses in Jerusalem. All right? They were witnesses in Judea, the area around it. As you read the chapter, as you read through the book of Acts, you'll find out that they did not branch out any farther. They stayed. Matter of fact, they grew another 5,000, 8,000 people. They had so much money. People were just coming in and selling all their land, selling all their belongings, dumping it at the disciples' feet, giving all the money. Church had so much money that they said, "Hey, man, we got to have some deacons. Get some deacons. Y'all choose out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, and we'll lay hands on them, and they can decide how to do the money, and they can take care of these widows, and they can do this, and they can do that." And they were just building them a church right there in Jerusalem. You find this little fellow by the name of Saul. We later know him as by Paul. But in the beginning, we meet him, and his name is Saul, and the Bible says that he went about persecuting the church. We find out the road to Damascus, he gets saved, but he was on his way to persecute those in the church. Because of his persecution and because of what was going on, people in Samaria and the uttermost were reached. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a church won't function unless they're doing all of this. Because if they're not doing all of this, God has a way of making sure that His Word spreads. If you'll read that, if you'll understand Acts and how it works, God started persecuting the church, and because all the church was running around, the gospel was being spread in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Our job, the focus of the church, the plan of the church. Do you realize there's not a plan B? There's not a plan B. It's our responsibility to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost. There's not a plan B. It's our responsibility. That's why we ought to be doing our part in Jerusalem, talking to our family, talking to our friends. We ought to do our part in Judea, talking to our acquaintances, talking to those around us. We ought to do our part in Samaria, reaching these, making sure that we're supporting churches and helping churches and supporting believers that are reaching those right here in the United States. But the uttermost, that's why we ought to do our part in giving, so that we can reach the uttermost. And let me say this, little as much when God is in it. Don't sit there and think we need $1,000 from you. We don't. If everybody would do their part, we could reach the uttermost. We could do all these things. I believe. Y'all, I believe it. We're living in an area where I think when I first moved here, and it may have changed, but when I first moved here, there was 2,400 or 2,700 was the census of Lake Park. And here we are. I want you to think about this. On a Sunday morning, in this church, and children's church or nurseries and everything else, we're close to 400 people. That's over 10% of the people where our church is located. We're reaching. Why is that? God's got his hand on it. God's got his hand on it. And if we'll just give a little, y'all hear me? I think we can accomplish every bit of that right there. He's done shown us that we're accomplishing a lot. If we can keep on and stay focused, keep our passion right, keep the power right, then there ain't no telling what God can do with this church. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the people of it, their obedience, Lord, their faithfulness to this house. God, I thank you, Lord, for the choir, their singing, the practice, the hard work that they put in. Lord, Brother Jake and Brother Matt, Miss Jenny, all the different folks, Lord, that are so involved here and do so many things, Lord, I thank you for each one of them. Those that weren't mentioned, Lord, please forgive me for that, but God, you know the names and know my heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done here today. Lord, we won't know till eternity what all has been accomplished, but God, we ask you to continue to work in the lives and hearts and lives of those that were here this morning. And then, God, I pray tonight was an encouragement to our people. Lord, I'm thankful for this church, and I believe this church is right on track doing what she needs to do for you. And, God, I pray that you'll continue to bless us. Lord, as we go over and we celebrate Jake and Jenny, and, Lord, the life that they have and that they have given, Lord, as we go and celebrate the life of Hadley, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you be with us. Lord, as we eat the food, I pray that you bless it. And Lord, may we honor and glorify you in fellowship tonight and have a good time. We'll be sure to give you all the honor, the praise, the glory, and the thanks for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.